Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. I just recorded the whole podcast without recording. Maysoon is ready to shoot a laser through her phone.
Oh, Lord. It's hard enough.
Okay. But what really is good is that now we can crystallize our thoughts.
Now we really can
processed everything. So first off, we got a listener letter. Okay, it's from a very prominent...
A listener letter? Was it like sent in via the USPS?
No, it's an email. And it is from an email. It's from a very prominent Chinese American artist in the Bay Area. And she wrote in, "Hello, lovely ladies. I heard Jessica Silverman is moving / has moved to Chinatown, which is concerning, ? And then I saw that she updated her font name to commemorate the new face." Okay, so like we're looking at like kind of the logo type of thing.
Yeah.
That just says Jessica Silverman. The listener included an image of this new logo, which is just Jessica Silverman spelled out in all caps.
And it's hovering above an image of the Earth from outer space, excuse me.
Yes. And so the listener said, "Then I saw the new font and then the context and then thought, is this an updated version of Chopstick font? Is she trying to evoke Chopstick font because she's moving to Chinatown? ?
She's really kind of incensed.
I need your hard-hitting journalism on this. Okay, so now I defer to the listener on, you know, to interpret all this. Because I don't think I necessarily would have thought, if the listener hadn't written in, I don't know if I would have seen this logo and thought of the Chopstick font. I do see, now that that is brought up, I can kind of see, especially in the S and the C. I'll put an image in the underworld for the listeners. I can see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think rich white people going into Chinatown and gentrifying is an issue, whatever their font choice is. Okay.
Agreed.
So that being said, what do you think, Maysoon?
Well, I mean, I think yes, this power of suggestion is real. And I think having our listener sort of mention that, I could see how you could see that. I mean, it does have a similar kind of vibe, I guess you could say. The thing that makes me question that is just the fact that it's like hovering over – like it's in outer space hovering over the Earth, which to me maybe implies.
Yeah, what is that about?
I think that implies that she's showing artists a global, she has a global roster of artists, right? Not just.
Okay.
Not just Bay Area, not just national. Like that's to me how I read that, or that she's going to be, maybe she's joining the Mars mission. What is it? Mars X, what do they call it? Maybe she's going to hop on the Mars One and then, you know, have someone from Mars be a roster on her roster. I don't know. You know, it just depends on what she's really working on here.
Oh, my God. Well, but listeners, do you think this is some kind of Orientalist, like,
bullshit?
I don't know what. Go ahead. Give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
I'm going
to... Maysoon, you're going to go ahead and email the Jessica Silverman people.
I'm going to reach out to them and just...
I know at least one person who... I'm not sure if she still works there, but I don't know if she still listens to the show, but... Let us know, Jessica Silverman workers. They're, of course, going to say, hell no, it has nothing to do with the Chopstick font.
Well, I'm not going to ask that, though.
Right. You got to just ask, what up with it? And then they'll say, oh, yeah, it's the Chopstick font.
We were thinking we wanted to find a way to, like, you know, what is it? I don't know. To honor Chinatown, right? I could imagine someone thinking that that's a way to do that.
Oh, my God, like, that's so horrific.
Misinterpreted. Ay, ay, ay.
The nightmare.
But who knows? We'll find out.
Okay, we also got some spam from some people that are offering us some medical billing help for our medical practice. So whoever's signing up the Congratulations Pine Tree email to some fucking spam, you can cut that out.
Oh, that was me. I started a medical clinic.
Also, YBCA. YBCA's got a new show up called, well, it's this is what we don't understand. Maysoon, talk about your friend.
A friend of mine who is a curator and educator and is awesome, Thea Kirai-Tagli, curated a show called Afterlife We Survive, and it's on view at YBCA November 9th. It's already opened through January 24th. And what's exciting outside of the concept of the show is that it doesn't require you go inside. So during this crazy pandemic, it's nice that there are people who are thinking about ways we can experience work without actually having to be inside places. So it's all viewable from outside. It's all in the windows. There's videos, there's photos, there's all sorts of things you can see from the windows. And also there's a whole online, weren't you saying that, Kate? There's a whole online feature as well. That I think you can, I think you can access the online work through YBCA's website. There's also, looks like there's a 3D tour of the show.
And just a little snippet about the show. It is an immersive multimedia presentation featuring works by 10 Black, Brown, Indigenous, queer, and trans artists who have developed strategies for survival in the midst of ongoing racial injustice, environmental disasters, and health disparities. And it's going to be up until January 24th.
Yeah, and there's a handful of local artists in the show as well as non-local artists, which is great. Everyone check it out.
Also, like, the image they have in the press release email is, like, pretty intense. There's some naked boobs.
Oh, really? I'm not seeing that image.
It's pretty hot.
Great.
It's people in bondage gear and stuff. Okay, then we've got Maureen Harrison sent us an email about the old UCSC Cezanne Gallery. They have a show that just opened up on November 12th. And but it's not a show. Okay. It's not just a show, Maysoon. It's not a show. It's like it's a convergence.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me more.
You with me so far? And apparently it's going to be going on until June 30th. It's called What Makes Us Human, an Art and Genomics Convergence. One. Okay. It's going to be going on until June of 2021. So there's going to be all kinds of shit going on. Some of the groups and people involved include Dorothy Santos. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Genomics Institute at UC Santa Cruz, motherfucking Open Lab Collaborative Research Center, the Algae Society, UCSC Astrobiology. What is that?
It's like organisms in space. I don't have any idea.
Okay, well, get in the mix with that because it sounds wild. Okay, good job to you, UCSC. Okay, what else did we talk about before when I wasn't recording like a complete asshole?
Yeah, you big jerk. I was telling you about, we were talking about how I'm torn by not wanting to tell people to go to exhibitions that take place inside. So I've been looking for things that are outside.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a pretty big surge.
We don't even want people going outside.
I don't really want people going outside, but definitely I don't want people going inside.
You got to protect your mental health and everything. Like, do go outside. It's pretty safe to be outside if you're far away from people.
And wearing a mask. Wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the YBCA show, something you can...
But wait, Maysoon, we need to give a 13-part salute and a deep bow to everyone who's an essential worker that has to go out.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay, go ahead. Let's play a song for them. How I want to deserve. Also, if anybody wants us to just be shouting out their Venmo on the show, if you're an essential worker, we're happy to do that.
Hey, this is the CPT robot. Here is a Venmo you could send some money to right now to support Bay Area service workers during the pandemic at Oakland Workers Fund, and remember to tip 200% if you are getting takeout or anything like that.
And speaking of shouting out Venmos, everybody should tune in to our favorite talk show, which is called Getting to Know All About You with Conrad Guevara. It is every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time on the Instagram account, No Can Handle. So that's at NOCANHANDLE. Conrad Guevara is going to be the new Ellen DeGeneres. And by that, I mean replace Ellen DeGeneres.
I love that.
And be totally different because we don't like Ellen on Congratulations, Pine Tree. Maysoon, do you stand against Ellen DeGeneres?
Wait, why do we stand against Ellen DeGeneres again?
She's actually a horrific monster who's like a terrible devil to everyone who works for her.
Oh, God, that's such a bummer. I don't pay attention to Ellen DeGeneres that much.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. See, that's a bigger diss than anything. You really just dissed Ellen into her grave. Okay, aww. So everybody tune in to No Can Handle on Instagram Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for some great shows, including this week is going to include Tasha Stymidge and Sophia Cordova and other people.
And other people.
There's been great guests, including Margaret Tedesco and
Kate Rhodes.
I've been on it. I feel like I need
Layla
to recant.
Ruth
I need
Way to recant on it.
Yeah, I need to recant some of the things that I said on there.
Wait, why?
Because there's this new video game coming out called Cyberpunk 2077, and I heard about it from one of my students when I was at teaching at San Jose State. And they were non-binary, and they were all excited that there was going to be, like, some gender fluidity, because you create your own character in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
And that there was going to be, like, built-in things where the characters could kind of... I don't know what the thought was back then, but it's seeming now like maybe actually there's going to be... You're going to be able to play with different gender performance stuff, but that deep down it seems, like, kind of transphobic and fetishistic maybe.
Oh, yuck. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're waiting to hear. I want to hear from the trans video game journalists that are going to write about it when it's actually out, because the game's not out yet, you know, to see what the thoughts are. But I'm kind of thinking that maybe it's not something I should have endorsed when I was on Conrad's show.
Oh, no.
So I recant my endorsement. And the thing. You can listen to back episodes.
Yeah, you can listen to there's so many things to do in your own home.
Yes, yes.
I was also going to say that SOEX had some shows up, but they're now closed. We talked
good.
About it.
I'm glad we revisited that.
In our pre-recorded session that wasn't recorded. So don't go to SOEX because they don't have any shows in the window anymore. But
hey, legal news. Oh, okay,
wait,
go ahead.
What? And then we
no,
were talking.
Okay,
I'm going. I'm going ahead. I'm going ahead now, everyone. Also, a curator and educator, Astrid Superuck, has curated a show with her museum studies class at SF State. Nope, at University of San Francisco, USF, with the group Related Tactics called "Become the Monuments That Cannot Fall."
And ooh, I love that title.
I know, it's good, right? That is a series of posters that explore national politics and illuminates the facets of Black life in the city. And they're viewable from the street and located in multiple storefronts within walking distance along the 3rd Street corridor in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood. So go check that out. We'll leave a little link in the underworld so you can find out where to see those posters. But that show is up through February 14th, and you just need to be outside to see it.
Maysoon, did you hear that Chase Abudin, the DA of San Francisco, has filed manslaughter charges against the police officer who fatally shot 42-year-old Keita O'Neill during a 2017 chase? This is the first time in modern history that the city's top prosecutor has charged a police officer with homicide in a use of force case. But that doesn't sound like homicide. That sounds like manslaughter.
Yeah. And this happened.
Like,
did you say
charge.
2017? So this is multiple years now since this has happened.
Yeah. Yes.
So thank God something's happened. Something's happening finally.
And the DA says, "I'm committed to equal enforcement of the law and to a justice system where the outcomes don't depend on the color of your skin, how much money you have in the bank, or whether you wear a uniform to work."
Mm-hmm. Great.
Straight up.
Good job. Way to work for the people, man. Let's do it.
So that's at least...
That's some
good news.
That's
at least one little something from a motherfucking elected official.
I know. Man, I was feeling pretty down about... I mean, not to be surprised, of course, but fucking Biden's cabinet picks. I was like, fucking hell.
Oh, Jesus. It's just the hits never stop coming.
It's just such a bummer. Like, what are we supposed to do? Not vote?
Go there, chain ourselves to the fucking building so nothing can happen. We got to cut the Wi-Fi. We got to go in with our bow and arrow and take out the fucking electrical grid.
It's just like I want to move to the fucking Bronx where AOC is just so I can feel proud of like the person in power. Like, can I just feel proud of someone who's running something?
Maysoon, no, you can't feel proud of any of these fucking sh**ks.
I know. Yes. Yes, you're right. That is the lesson. There's never... there's always a fight, I guess, is the lesson. There's always something that needs to be changed and fixed.
Hell yeah.
No matter what. I have been watching at the bequest of my mother. Is that the right word? Bequest? No, that's not the right word.
Bequest is when someone leaves something to you when they die, isn't it?
So no. Okay.
Or is that a bequeath?
Okay. At the suggestion of my mother, Lynn Fitzgerald.
I think you would say at the request.
At the request. Well, not request. I'll just say suggestion. I've been watching Greek tragedies.
What?
I've been watching online performances of Greek tragedies, Greek plays.
Full on.
And it's been pretty interesting. Greek? No, not in Greek. They're usually, translated, some translation in English. And so far they've both been, like one was through, I can't remember the first one, but it was this play called Antigone. And then this other one was, I know it.
Antigone.
Yeah, you probably know Antigone.
Maysoon, I know it because I saw Antigonic that was like a contemporary interpretation of it at the Shotgun Players with motherfucking Phonique. Phonique was in it.
Awesome.
She played, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, I can't remember any of the names right now.
Creon.
Okay,
she played Creon.
Oh, cool.
She played Creon's wife. It was a fucking revelation.
Awesome.
It was so good. And Creon was played by Kevin Clark, an incredible Bay Area actor.
Oh, awesome.
That's so weird.
So I've been watching, and then I just watched a couple days ago this play called The Bacchae about Dionysus and his followers. And it's just been kind of like, it's interesting. I don't know, like, I'm just wondering. It's interesting to watch plays online, obviously, because they're in Zoom form. They're not like actual theater plays. So
wait, what?
They're
so it's
Zoom.
Like a reading?
They're basically readings, but they are dramatic readings, you know? And
wow, that's neat.
It's pretty interesting to really to think about how, I mean, I think there's so many challenges to doing any kind of performance in this new way that we're doing things.
Yeah.
You know, just like just visually, I was talking. My mom was actually in the last one. She was a reader in the last play I watched, and we were talking about it. And we were talking. They have a director who's really well known. You know, this play was through the University of Chicago, and just as someone who has like a real attention to like all the visual elements, like just seeing every single detail on screen, and just sort of being like, oh my God, you just can't. You can't ignore anything. You know what I mean? Like, I guess this director was like, don't worry about your background. It doesn't really matter. You're going to be reading it. The words are all that matters. But it's like when we're experiencing the world through this incredibly visual way, it's like actually everything matters. The visual really does matter. So it's like there's one actress or one of the performers was reading or was doing the performance in her office. And it's like, there were boxes and chairs through and like papers everywhere. It was like such a fucking chaotic mess. I was sort of like, ay, 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 you don't like, actually it really matters, you know?
Yeah.
In a performance setting, right? Like it's one thing if you're having a fucking meeting, I don't care what's in my background, but
yeah.
So it's been interesting to kind of like watch these plays in this way and just see.
Yeah.
All the challenges that people have coming up.
That's wild. Well, Maysoon, that made me want to go and see what's going on with the Shotgun Players over there in Berkeley. And yeah. they have yeah. one of these.
Do you know, are they performing? Oh, good.
They have cool. one. There's I think the next upcoming show is December 4th through 13th. There's a play called The Light. And they are going, it's going to be a 70-minute real-time roller coaster ride of laughter, romance, and despair that uncovers how the power of radical love can be a healing beacon of light. Rondon Davis and Kenny Scott are a couple in real life, and these two exceptional actors will perform this play live in their own home. I think that's neat. Then it's just one camera that's streaming instead of like having the grid. Okay, Mason, look, maybe the description isn't really setting your hair on fire.
This description is definitely not setting my hair on fire, but I will watch it to watch something with you. But I want you to know that
tickets go on sale. Tickets are also sliding scale from $8 to $40. Mm. As low as $8, Mason. It also includes closed captioning for the hearing impaired.
That's great. I love that.
And they will also be hosting a post-show conversation, which I'm sure is optional. So check that out. Check out the Shotgun Players at shotgunplayers.org. Definitely my favorite, like, local theater.
Oh, really?
Group place. Oh, yeah.
What's their...
Man, when I saw Antigone, that fucking shit ruled. Followed closely by Z Space.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Interesting. I'm not like, I mean, I do really love theater, but it's been interesting because my mom's been like, oh, you got to watch this. So she'll send me these links to see these things for free. So I've been like popping on and watching them. And of course, like taking notes like a good little daughter, you know, like, oh, I have.
You're literally writing down notes?
Yeah. On a couple of them because I know my mom. I mean, she's like an English literature professor, teacher, and like a, you know, a poet. So
she's
like,
not just gonna let it slide.
When she asks you to watch something, I know that means she wants to have like a full-on, like, in-depth critique conversation about it. So I like had like 3 pages of notes when I watched Antigone and like commented on all these different things. And
holy shit,
you know, you just got to do it up. I felt like I was in class. Like, I was in school. I was, like, taking full on going for it. Which is actually kind of fun for me.
Wow. This is very alien to my parental experience.
Oh. Well, no. I mean, it wasn't like she was forcing me to. It was just sort of like, if we're going to have a conversation, I want to go into it feeling like I paid attention and know what I want to say about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely never had that with my mom. Okay. Maysoon, I just also found out that there is an abundant amount of resources for artists on the Shotgun Players website.
Oh, you really love these guys. You're really going to pump them up.
Including a ton of funding opportunities. If you are a performance or theater artist or whatever kind of thing, they have a bunch of links over here to hook you up with some different funds, including the Musicians Foundation, the Entertainment Assistance Program, the Writers Emergency Fund. Got a great bunch of links over here.
Cool.
Including the phone number for the Workers' Rights Clinic.
Workers' Rights Clinic. That's great.
I love you, Shotgun Players, and I give you a two-handed salute. Hey, everybody. Speaking of grants, the SFAC has an individual artist grant application open right now. It is going to be phenomenal, and it is monies up to $20,000 for artists in the Bay Area.
Yep. And
those applications, Maysoon, I know you don't know this, but I know that the applications are due December 15th.
Oh, okay, great. And I assume people can find out more information on that website, on the SFAC website.
Yeah, you may not know this, Maysoon, but the SFAC website is www.sfartscommission.org. It does look like S-farts.
And I should also say, whenever we talk about the Arts Commission on this show, that I am always speaking as an individual human being in the world and not as a city of San Francisco employee or an employee of the San Francisco Arts Commission.
That's correct. And I have to say, Maysoon, I've really enjoyed doing this podcast twice. It's definitely going to go up on Tuesday tomorrow. And we're going to get back to a regular schedule now. Right, this is it. Now. We're getting back to it.
Right at this
good
moment.
Job, us. And I'm going to be scheduling my next trip from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.